Welcome to Get Sleepy, the podcast where we listen, we relax, and we get sleepy. My name's Thomas, and I'm your host. Thanks so much for tuning in. It means a lot to have your company and your support. There's a lot of palpable emotion in the world right now, and it's undoubtedly a challenging time for so many, and for so many reasons. It may feel that bit tougher to find moments of peace and calm, but I hope that Get Sleepy allows you to achieve the rest that you deserve. And I just want to send nothing but love and solidarity to everybody listening. Now, do remember, the more you tune in to Get Sleepy, the more effective it will be at putting you to sleep. So, wherever you get your podcasts, be sure to give us a follow or tap subscribe and listen in every night so you never miss a good night's rest. At Get Sleepy, we are on a mission to help the world enjoy better sleep. And we're so glad to share that mission with our friends at Manta. Manta Sleep have created a variety of amazing products and tools to make a great night's sleep that bit easier to find. They're best known for their incredible, high-quality sleep masks. I got myself one of the Manta Sleep masks a few weeks ago, and I can honestly say it's the best sleep mask I've ever used. Firstly, they're so comfortable. And with the help of their infinite adjustability, you can achieve 100% blackout. I went for their original sleep mask, but they have several great varieties, including warm, cool, and weighted masks. I've woken up on a few bright mornings lately, assuming that when I lift off the mask, it will still be the middle of the night, only to be met by glaring sunlight, which proves just how effective the Manta sleep masks really are. So if you're prone to light sleep, Manta are the go-to choice for a sleep mask. And of course, they're great for travel too. So check out their website and browse all of their amazing products. Just go to mantasleep.com. And right now, they're offering 10% off when you use the promo code GETSLEEPY. So go to mantasleep.com and use the code GETSLEEPY when making your purchase. I'm confident you'll have zero regrets. So now, tonight, Abby will be our guide as we wander through Marrakesh, in search of something special. Firstly, take some time to bring your body and mind into a state of rest. Let your breathing slow down to a pace that is just right for you. Give your muscles permission to relax. They have done enough for today. You have done enough for today. Let your bed peacefully cradle you, keeping you safe and comfortable. In just the same way that you consciously slowed down your breathing, you can consciously ease your mind. Thoughts may linger, and that's okay. Just let them slow down and gently drift in and out of your awareness. Now that you have invited this slower pace, you can cozy up and unlock your imagination. As you drift off to sleep, your mind can rest for a while on the pleasant border between conscious thought and the land of dreams. Just listen along to Abby's voice and let a sense of wanderlust fill your imagination. We begin our story on a cozy afternoon in a shaded courtyard, somewhere in the city of Marrakesh.
It's nearly sunset, and the heat of the day is giving way to a cool breeze that now drifts into the courtyard where you're sitting. The light scarf draped around your shoulders rustles gently as the air lifts its edges. You set your teacup down on the table in front of you and sigh. It's almost time to go into town. You've spent most of the day here in the guest house where you're staying. Early this morning, you explored the gardens of Manara to the west of the city. But when the sun was high in the midday sky, you sought refuge from the heat back here, at your home away from home in Marrakesh. This is a traditional guest house called a riad, with rooms built around a central outdoor space where chairs and tables stand upon cool tile floors. When you arrived, your host made a steaming pot of tea to enjoy. You took your tea and found a shady spot to sit here in the courtyard. What a lovely day it's been, snuggled up in a comfortable chair, with nothing but time and a good book. But although the day is coming to a close, the markets in the old city are just starting to make their preparations for evening visitors. You've come to Marrakesh for one particular reason, and the markets are where you'll find what you're looking for, the perfect Moroccan rug. You stand up from your chair and stretch your arms toward the sky, which glows in a rich reddish-orange with a fading light. You pick up your book and push your chair back under the table, hearing its legs glide across the tile. You climb the short flight of steps to your room and open the dark blue door leading inside. There, you put your book down on the dresser and pick up the little map of Marrakesh your host gave you at check-in. After a glance, you have a rough idea of where you're going, so you leave the map behind. You're feeling adventurous after a relaxing afternoon. You'd rather allow the winding streets to lead you to new and exciting places. Carefully, you close the door behind you and walk across the long, open-air hallway to a second set of stairs. These bring you down to the street below. Standing on the sidewalk, you put the scarf around your shoulders and turn left. This is the way to Gemma El Fina, the main square in the Medina quarter of Marrakesh. As you walk, you take the time to drink in your surroundings. Tall buildings of peach and pink line the street. On the sidewalks, people move together in little groups, talking to one another or daydreaming as they head home after a long day at work. A man on a bicycle rings his bell as he glides past on the street. A little cat flicks its ginger tail at you as it settles down on a set of brightly painted stairs. Ahead, the street lets out onto a bustling market square. You know it's there before you can see it, because you can hear the cacophony of busy people in the distance. The sounds of a zither and tambourine drift between the buildings. They are joined by drums, a lute, and the merry voices of people selling their wares. This is Gemma Alfina, the heart of Marrakesh. You stop at the edge of this enormous square and look around. To your left, there's a man selling knick-knacks from a small cart. Across the way are vendors in tightly packed stores. Some are selling bags, others are selling shoes, embroidered linens or shiny brass pots and pans. With all the smells, sights and sounds, there's plenty to take in. But that's just fine, you're in no rush. So you take your time enjoying each moment. You wander over to a stall on your right. Here, a man is selling freshly pressed orange juice. You order a cup and hand over a few coins. As you sip, you let the flavours of the liquid play on your tongue. Sometimes sweet, sometimes tart. It's quite refreshing. Although the heat of the day has passed, nights are still warm here in Marrakesh. You're thankful for the cool drink and a chance to pause and watch the commotion of the square around you. It's a gentle reminder that you can be calm and at peace, despite a bustling world. In the next stall over, there's a man standing behind a brightly coloured table. It is covered in rows and rows of small bottles, filled with tinctures and tonics, baskets of dried herbs, small containers of spices, and little sachets filled with something fragrant. You ask the juice seller what they are, and he tells you they're traditional medicines. There are a few stalls here in the square selling such time-honored remedies, he continues. He points a little further down the path across the market, where a man stands in the middle of a semicircle of curious onlookers. He's holding a stringed instrument to one side. The breeze carries his musical voice across the way. You're captivated by his rhythm and cadence. He's a Berber storyteller, the juice seller explains, reciting tales as old as time from across the windswept sands beyond the city. As you finish your juice, you listen to his story and imagine travelling to the outer reaches of Marrakesh, past the farthest street and the very last building. His voice carries you across the desert sands, through palm trees and along small meandering rivers. There are Berber villages here, tucked away in the lush foothills of the mighty Atlas Mountains. His voice lingers in the air as he finishes the end of his tale, and the echo brings you back to the orange juice store. You thank the seller for the drink. It's time to be on your way. You walk past the table with the vials and pouches, past a man selling beautifully embroidered bags and linens, past a group of people playing musical instruments for a watchful crowd. The narrow walkway between the stalls leads you toward a wall on the north side of the square. As you get closer, you realize the wall divides the square from the maze of alleys that fan out from it on all sides. You follow the path beneath a small archway. On the other side, it lets out into a broad alley. The walkway here is covered by a slatted roof to protect the stalls beneath from the elements. This is Souk Semarine. The souks, or markets, north of Jemaa al-Fina are like a labyrinth of commerce. If the smaller markets are the arms and legs, Semarine is the spine. And it's here that you'll find the most diverse array of offerings. On your right, there's a vendor selling handmade pottery, pots and bowls, serving platters and cups are all laid out on tables and mats on the floor. Rows and rows of hand-thrown clay items line the quaint store. Some are brightly painted in reds and greens, while others more closely resemble the brown of their raw material. On your left, there's a little shop with glass windows selling delectable pâtisserie. There are cakes, large and small, some filled with fruit and cream, and others drenched in chocolate. The smell of warm sugar lingers in the air, and your stomach rumbles in reply. You walk up to the window and point to a little round cream puff. The vendor hands it to you, careful not to crumble its delicate crust. You take a bite of the sweet treat. The taste is heavenly. The dough is light and airy, and the cream inside is thick and fresh. You finish the puff and head back out into the main walkway. Your shoes click on the tiled floor as you follow the path to the stalls selling fabrics and textiles. In one storefront, you see dozens of rows of soft pashmina scarves in all colours of the rainbow. In another, there's fabric you can purchase by the yard in rich ruby reds and soft pastel purples, some with patterns, some without. A little further down the way, the path forks. On the left is Souk El Atarin, famous for its brightly coloured lamps. And on the right is Spice Square. Before you've had a chance to think about which direction you want to go, your nose points the way. Right it is, you think? Here in the Spice Square, your senses are overcome by the deep and pungent aroma of dozens of different ingredients. They intermingle in the air, sweet and savory, earthy and piquant. All around you, tall bins are overfilled with mounds of bright yellow turmeric, browned cumin, and brick red chili powder. Whole dried chilies fill a large burlap sack near the wall. Another is brimming with sage green cardamom pods. There are dried rose petals, whole nutmeg, dried berries and mace. There's tahini and za'atar, and delicate strands of fiery coloured saffron, piled high like feathers. You ask the spice seller for a bit of saffron, which he packs for you in a little waxy envelope. he also gives you a small pouch of dried rose petals for tea, and a container full of whole peppercorns. You could stay here all night, walking from bin to bin, and using your hand to waft the scents of each vibrant spice toward you. But your journey through the souks is just beginning. There's much more to see. Spices in hand, you turn away from the aromas and walk toward the other fork, where Souk El Atarin lies. If Spice Square was an adventure for smell, then this is an adventure for sight. At the entrance, there are vendors on either side selling gleaming copper creations. Others offer large decorative plates and mirrors, as well as tea kettles, teapots, and trays. They shine pink and brown, and some even take on a golden hue where the light hits just right. And then, past the copper, there's brass lamps hanging from the ceiling, clustered together so tightly that their shapes and outlines blend together in your view. Some are enormous three-tiered masterpieces with stained glass and mirrored sides. Others are smaller, a single globe or cube hanging from a chain. Light shines from within each lamp, creating the illusion of a thousand gemstones hanging from the ceiling. Reds, greens, blues and yellows dance off the walls across the way. Light flickers against your scarf and brings the patterns to life. One of the lamps above your head is shaped like an upside-down teardrop. Blue and red stained glass daisies dot the rim. Next to it, there's a geometric lamp with thick solid glass rectangles in primary colours that fit together at sharp angles. But perhaps the most magical are the lamps crafted in the shape of 10-pointed stars. The stars are three-dimensional, and each arm bears no fewer than three colours from base to tip. The lamp shops are a work of art, you think. To remove one would change the vision, but nothing could make it any less beautiful. No matter how spectacular the lamps are, though, you have your heart set on something else. Without the map, you're not quite sure where to go. Perhaps someone back at the main square can point you toward a good place to find rugs. You head back down the path to the main walkway. Here, you take a right and go back the way you came. When you get to the stall with the pashmina scarves, you stop. Out of the corner of your eye, you catch sight of a little doorway. You walked past it earlier without noticing, but for some reason, it draws your attention going back this way. You're not sure what's on the other side, but a little voice inside your mind tells you to go in and explore. Why not, you think. The door is painted a robin's egg blue, the same colour as many of the scarves that hang nearby. Perhaps that's why you missed it earlier. It's nearly camouflaged in a sea of the same soft hue. The door handle is small and shiny. You twist the knob gently and push open the door. There, on the other side, is a sight that takes your breath away. It's a rug shop, just what you'd been hoping to find. And there are hundreds of rugs. Small entryway rugs and table rugs, enormous area rugs and round rugs. Some are laying down on the ground, Others are rolled tightly and standing on their ends in neat rows along the perimeter. The shopkeeper welcomes you to his establishment and offers to show you rugs in as many sizes and colours as you can imagine. He shows you a rust red rug with a goldenrod border that looks like unfurling scrolls. He holds one edge of a medium-sized rug and rolls it out in front of you. This one is navy blue, almost black, with little red dots and curlicues fanning out from the centre. There are rugs with geometric patterns that cover the surface from top to bottom. Some are so intricate, it would take you days to trace all of the shapes. Others are more modest. You're looking for something on the smaller side, you tell him, as you'll need to fit it in your bag to take home. He has something for that, he says, and walks you over to another part of the shop. Here, the rugs are quite a bit smaller and are stacked neatly on top of each other. There are a few that catch your eye, but you ask him to show you what he likes instead. He pulls down one that you had noticed too. It's a little rectangular piece with a dense weave. You run your hand back and forth on it. In one direction it's coarse, but silky smooth in the other. You wonder how that effect is created. The pattern is woven in black around the edges like an ornate picture frame. But to you, what's most stunning is the colour of the rug. It's a spectacular silver blue, like nothing you've ever seen before. As you look around the room, you can't see a single other rug that bears the same colour. That's the one, you say to him. It's the one you've been waiting for. You sink your fingertips deep into the weave and let the silky fibres move around them. You caress the surface from left to right, which leaves the colour more blue, and then from right to left, which makes it shine a delicate silver. You'll take it, you tell him. He wraps it up for you and you thank him profusely for his help. With your new rug in hand and your mission accomplished, you walk out the same small door and onto the busy walkway of the souk. You continue to the right, back toward Gemma Alfina Square. As you walk, people pass you on both sides. Some squeeze past quickly, heading home to their families for dinner. Others meander back and forth across the path, enjoying the warm evening breeze as they peruse the offerings of vendors. You follow the path back out from beneath the slatted roof of the souk and on to the little alley leading to the square. You pass under the archway and into the old city centre. You walk back between the stalls, past the storytellers and musicians, past the juice seller and his neighbour selling tinctures and herbs. You leave the square on the other side and walk back up the narrow road to your guest house. The bustle of the market fades with each step. The streets are quieter now than they were when you left. There's no one on bicycles and no groups huddled together heading home from work. Even the little cat has gone to find a soft bed. Everyone is settling in for the night. When you reach the guest house, you climb the short flight of stairs up to the second level and walk around the open-air balcony to your room. you push open the door and set down your bag. You put on your pajamas and brush your teeth. And then you take out your new rug. You set it on the floor and allow yourself to finally touch it with the soles of your feet. It feels like walking on a cloud. You slide it over so that it lies flat next to your bed. It will be the last thing you feel before you tuck yourself in, and the first thing you touch when you get up tomorrow morning. With a smile, you wiggle your toes in the deep weave of the rug one last time, and then pull your legs up onto the bed. You draw the covers up to your chin and tug the little chain to click off the lamp on the bedside table. Your mind wanders back on your adventure, first to the square, and then to the souks, to the mounds of rich spices and the forest of brass lamps hanging from the ceiling. You imagine the light of the lamps flickering against the night sky out your window, reflecting the stars that appear overhead. With the perfect picture of this beautiful day in your mind's eye, you fall into a deep and contented sleep.